Well, I'm going to speak today on hope. This is going to be going out to students as well. And I'm finding that a lot of our students, they need this word. They need to be reminded of hope. They need to be encouraged. We all get emails from students, or they share it within the class, what's going on in their lives. And we find that many of them are struggling in many ways. So this is going out to those students today, and maybe many of us that need to hear this. Paul wrote this letter in Romans during his third missionary journey to Rome. And of course, we all know some of the history of that. Many of you probably know it way better than I do, you history professors, but a mix of religions, persecution of the church. And so he wasn't there yet, but he wrote to the Romans, encouraging them, trying to say the right things, trying to bring them, regroup them, make sure that they're true to what we believed. And so he wrote, not even at that time, prison hadn't come his way yet, but it was coming his way. So this even prepared him for yet what was to come his way when he came to Rome. So here's what he writes in Romans 15, 4 through 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So just note that word hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. So we're speaking a lot to the people about unity as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. May the God, verse 13, may the God of hope, I skipped on down, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with, there's that word again, hope, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's something to be said about this word hope. And I'm going to jump over to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we all know this scripture from Isaiah, especially this time of year as we celebrate Advent. For unto us is child is born, to us a son is given, government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we can preach a message on that, can't we? There's all your points to a great message. You know, in a time that there seems to be little hope, Jesus in Advent comes to us as this little tiny babe to this fallen world. And in all my pastoral and DS ministry, I've seen a lot of people that have lost hope. You have too. Churches that I've met as a DS, they thought, in fact, several occasions, they said, DS, are you going to close our church? I tried to give them hope. Laypersons that I've had to deal with in churches where they've lost hope, I had to counsel them about that. Hope is what rings out during Christmas. And there are three observations I want to give you on hope today that I hope will encourage you. So God gives us hope. First is this, God gives us hope. And when he does it, it fills us with joy. I love this quote from Mother Teresa. She was asked to give a job description for any person that wanted to work alongside her in the midst of that gloom and grime and graceless gutters of Calcutta. And she, two things she mentioned were this as a job description, the desire for hard work and an attitude of joy. You know, I'm filling in as an interim pastor, as I just said, at a Wesleyan church here in Nashville. And on one side of the church is low income and homeless. And on the other side is multi-million-dollar homes and young families with money. In fact, just recently we were broken into because there's a lot of homeless in the area. And just this past week. And so we walked through there and I had to help, as any pastor does, help one of the laypersons fix the window. And We do it all as pastors sometimes, but they took toilet paper and paper towels. That's it. There was a guitar there, by the way, Alan. Didn't take the guitar, didn't take the mandolin hanging on the wall. But they did go into the refrigerator and find communion elements and take communion. So I thought that was pretty, interesting that they took a lot of things, but I think they thought maybe it was wine instead of grape juice. But anyhow, I'm pretty sure one of my churches, I went looking, he and I went looking for this homeless person. The teens were ministering to the homeless in the area in one of my churches. And by the way, his home was a few blankets and a cardboard and maybe some plastic in a wooded area that we went into. And we found Jerry there just outside of where he was living back in the woods. And there he was in front of a grocery store, struck up a conversation with him. I said, Jerry, is there anything you like, anything we can do to help you? And he said, I don't like anything. He said, I don't want to live, he said. Jerry had lost hope. He had lost purpose in life. At one time, he had a family. He shared his story about that and had a home to live in. And now here he is on the street, hopeless. These are the kind of people we minister to. This is what ministry is all about. This is what a pastor is all about, is bringing our people to understand, to help bring hope to hopeless people and to a hopeless world. So there are several things that can rob us of joy if we allow them. Circumstances can rob us of joy. I like Chuck Swindoll's reply in his book, Laugh Again, and he was talking about circumstances of life. He said that some critics would be quick to point out that our times do not lend themselves to an easygoing philosophy of cheer and joy. They ask, and he's writing in his book, under these circumstances, how could I be anything but grim? And then he replies in his book, what are you doing under the circumstances? The Christian life is to live above the circumstances. I don't know, but some circumstances in life, even to me, I'll be honest, have robbed me of hope and joy if we let it. Maybe those within our churches have tried to take away our joy. Can we testify to that? Circumstances might include problems in a marriage that we have within our churches, relationship problems. Some have lost loved ones. I've lost my mom and dad. I miss my parents, and I often think about them. I had a student who just wrote me just recently, talked about how that he had lost his wife just this past week. I read it, and he said he lost his wife and some time ago, and he's kind of lost the joy in his life. He had a very small congregation. He said sometimes he only had, it was just him. He's the only one that showed up to church, but he said, I'm going to be faithful. He said, I'm going to keep at it. I believe God still has a plan for this church, and I'm not going to give up. He learned how to regroup and get that joy back. Finances can rob us of joy if we let it. Circumstances in the church, things people say to us and things they've done to us can rob us of joy. But as Christians, we're told that with God's help, we can live beyond our circumstances, right? We don't have to let circumstances rob us of hope and joy. The past can rob us of joy. I've dealt with people in my pastoral counseling who seemingly can't let go of the past. They linger there. They wallow there. Past events, people, lifestyles. John was an elderly man in my church when I was pastoring in Pennsylvania. And after a message one morning, I noticed he was sitting in the back of the church and kind of quiet. And he beckoned me to come over to him, and I did. Most of the people in the church had left that morning, and so there were just a few left in the church kind of greeting each other. And he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something that's been bothering me. He said, back in World War II, he said, I was in a foxhole, and the troops that day, we were being attacked by the Japanese that night, and it overtook my foxhole. And he said, Pastor, he said, can God forgive me? He said, I still remember that vividly in my mind. Can God forgive me for killing that person? You see, many times in battle, you're shooting from a distance, but in this occasion, it was face-to-face combat. You see, that moment had robbed him of his joy just about all of his life. And I counseled him that morning, and I saw something happen to that man. A peace came over him. He felt forgiven. He felt whole again. He felt joy come back. That's the joy of the hope of Jesus. You know, after a while, the lack of joy can suffocate us. Let me encourage you today, whoever's listening to this, that stop living in the past. Don't allow the past to rob you of the joy that God can give you. Hope brings joy. An unforgiving spirit can rob you of joy. I've had pastorates where people did everything in their power to try to make my life miserable. You know, I struggled. Let me just be honest. I struggled to even like these persons, let alone love them. So we've all been there. Come on, if we're honest. But it was only through prayer that I was able to put those people in God's hands, forgive them. And an unforgiving spirit can rob us of joy if we let it. We can spend our life without it. I'm just going to stop and ask a question, and you can pause and think about it. Is there someone in your life like that, that you probably need to give that to Jesus? I'm sure some of us maybe going through something like that, and you just need to say, God, forgive me for that unforgiving spirit, and God, give me that joy again. The second thing I want to share about today about hope is that hope gives, it fills us with peace. Not only joy, but it fills us with peace. Peace is a key ingredient for anybody who's committed their life to Christ. If the person who's discovered peace, it points people to the source of that peace, and that's Jesus. My wife and I have had the privilege of seeing some of the great castles of Europe. In fact, we've got another trip lined up to go to England and travel around in that area. Again, we love going back in that area. We saw some old castles, and the castles contain some deep wells that are dug to supply the inhabitants if there's ever a siege. An aqueduct bringing water from the outside. Of course, the enemy would be at the enemy's mercy. They could stop that. But within the walls, a well inside, the enemy would have no power. When I think about that, as I compare that to Jesus, if we have something inside of us, if we have that joy welling up, that kind of well we can reach in and get from, it brings what we need to face the enemy. It helps us to face life and ministry. The peace that Christ gives, it's a spring welling up within us that brings joy in the midst of tough circumstances when all the battles around us are coming, because there's a lot of battles, believe me. So let's look at it this way. The peace that Jesus gives is not ruffled by adversary. It's not overshadowed by a sinful past. It's not disturbed by any external measures. The problem is the world around us, they don't have peace. And if they would only, this world, we all know that, would be much better if they found peace in Jesus, but they look everywhere else for it. Jesus, in fact, said at a celebration gathering in John 7, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink." There's that well. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." Wow. I mean, I could stop right there. That's the message today of what Christ can do within our hearts. So this leads me to my next point, last point, is that the only hope we have is through the Holy Spirit overflowing in our life. We Nazarenes believe in the Holy Spirit, don't we? Holy Spirit dispels, the power of the Holy Spirit dispels hopelessness and helplessness over sin in our life. And if we have sin in our life, there's hope. There are times in our life we feel the Holy Spirit tugging at our heart. We've said something, we've done something, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives, speaking within us. And the Holy Spirit comes, as we know, in power to indwell us and to fill us with this inner life, this overflowing, this well of Jesus within our lives. If we struggle in our lives with attitudes unlike Christ, or jealousy or anger or hopelessness or unforgiveness, there's hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, hope is the power to live life and to be holy and pure and thoroughly cleansed. Hope cries out our very doctrine of heart holiness, entire sanctification, however you want to label it. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit living within us to help us overcome sin and problems in life. of course, the Apostle Paul, speaking in Romans, talked a lot about bonding together, getting along with each other, because he knew the church would not be successful if it did not have unity. The Holy Spirit brings unity, brings love. That person that I talk about in my ministry that maybe caused me to feel like, well, do I really love them? Didn't like them very much. You see, God gave me the love that I didn't have. That was his Holy Spirit. That was the work of holiness within my life, God perfecting, God sanctifying that area of my life that need to be purified. And it helps me to get along and love people that maybe sometimes aren't very lovable. The Holy Spirit bonds together, joins together the church. So hope, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to give hope to a world that says there's no hope, or that homeless person that felt he had no hope, or that person sitting on the back pew that didn't feel much hope. That's where the Holy Spirit gives us hope, and we preach it, and we teach it, and we live it, and we tell it. Christ commissioned, he was commissioned to commission the church to bring holy living into our holy, unholy world. He commissions us to do that. But it comes, first of all, through a yielded human spirit, the Spirit of God. So the question is, have we yielded our lives to the Holy Spirit's control and power? I work on that. That's a daily thing that I ask God. God, would you help me today to yield to your control and your power? And where I have hopelessness, God, give me hope. God, help me to be where I need to be in my own spiritual life. So, question for maybe whoever's listening to this out there, and could be among us or among those that listen in, has something robbed us of joy? Circumstances or people or the past? So, you know, wherever you are and whoever's listening, maybe just a moment to pause and say, God, restore hope and joy in my life. Cleanse me and make me whole. So everybody deserves hope. And Jesus, in Advent, we're going to do, going to be a lot of messages out there through Nazarenes and others that are coming to Nazarene Bible College online. We have a lot to give, don't we, with this word hope, to a lost world. They need to hear it. They need to be encouraged by it. So Christmas should give us hope.